Welcome to our podcast.
Plunge
Today
talk.
we're doing some plunge talk. My first question to you is, it's in regarding, you know, we talk about House of Cologne and sharing our testimony. So
that's cool, baby.
First question I'd like to ask is, how did you come to know the Lord? How did you come to know Jesus as Savior?
You're how I know Jesus. I've always had a relationship with God, though, and I just needed to identify with Christ to know the relationship I needed to have here on earth. Like, you know, like I when you asked me that question, I go back to that day that we first were like in the parking lot, and we were in that Walmart parking lot, and you were trying to save my soul. And I was like fighting it. I was emotional. I was crying and everything. And then it's like, I just, no matter, like, I believe now, right? But back, like, there, I didn't want to believe it. Like, I was like, nah, it's not that easy, you know? It's not that simple. And it's not that simple, right? Like, because once you accept Christ, it's like, okay, now you gotta be like Christ. And that's in everything that we do. Which is, it's harder than not believing in Christ, if I'm honest, but totally worth it. And that's how I came to know Christ. Like, you brought Jesus into my life, like, and he knew how to get into my life with a fine woman like you. So that's how I came to know Jesus, was the day the day you came into my life, everything changed. But that day in the car, I started to look more on what Jesus would say and how he would do things, and try to start changing little by little. It was then that I knew I needed to be honest from the beginning with my relationship. Like, the same thing I'm trying to teach Caden, be honest with yourself, you know? Like, I knew if I moved forward in dishonesty, I would destroy any chances I had of keeping what I loved. And I knew I loved you. And if that meant being more like this guy named Jesus than I was in, you know, I guess, you know, that willingness to change, that willingness to be different for the good, you know.
Would you say, like, based on that, that it's important to share with others, you know, just about Jesus?
Well, as a Christian, that's our whole thing. House of Cologne is our testimony, so that you too may believe. That's written in the Bible. Like, that's John who said that, you know. For me, it's like, me and my brothers and this men's group that we got on Saturday, we talk about witnessing. And witnessing is a huge part of evangelism, you know. And yeah, that's like, I'm in the book of Acts right now, and that's all they're doing. And what I'm noticing in the book of Acts is, no matter what they're being told not to do, they still do it. And they do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm. I'm at the point where Stephen was stoned because he did exactly what he was told not to do. I'm at the part where Paul was blinded because he was persecuting Jesus. He was arresting his people, mm-hmm. and almost like in his own ignorance, you know, because when Jesus blinded him, you know, everybody around him heard what he heard, but only he saw what he saw. And you can't take that away from him. And that's what testimony is about. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, y'all can hear what I hear. Y'all can hear what I say, but y'all didn't see what I saw. Y'all didn't experience what I experienced. And you can't take that from me. And that builds my faith in Christ. And that's what's going to spread the word of the gospel. That's what's going to bring life to any testimony, you know.
Right, that reminds me of in our digging deeper, there was a question here. What have you viewed as a disappointment, but in hindsight, you can see the deposit that was made? So, like for Paul, he was blinded. Like, oh my gosh, I can't see, but in hindsight, the deposit that was made was this testimony now that no one could take it from him. He knows what happened.
Oh yeah.
And,
And the people know what happened too, you know. It's like, but to answer that question, like, every single mistake I made before I decided to turn over my life to Christ, I saw as a setback before, and now I just see it was God's hand molding the clay. And you know, I'm all about refinement. That's what I love about jiu-jitsu. It's like every time I come off the mat, I'm a newer version of myself. And you know, God allows us to fail, like in the mat, you know, they'll tap, you know, like I will go longer and not tap as much with Chester and vice versa, he with I, but we'll go against Trevor, who's 220 pounds, and we'll tap often. And it's a different game. It's okay, how do you handle this kind of pressure? You know, survival, get off your back, get him back into your guard, you know. And that becomes the mindset. It's not, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't do this. No, that's the devil. It's okay. What do I know from here? You know, what can I do from here? You know, and that's life. That's life. You know, when you find yourself making those bad decisions, I've always, like I said, had that relationship with God. And God has always spoke to me in ways that people can't take from me. And nothing more loud and clear than the day I asked him for help and he delivered the word to me. And yeah, so, you know, it's like I say, all those bad decisions, every lie I told, every mischievous thing I did in pursuit of self, in pursuit of my own flesh, pretty much, you know. I didn't have someone there to guide me, you know. I had God and I had the world. And I chose the world for a very long time. And in hindsight, God will use that too to make things good.
So tell us about that, the word when God gave you the word.
Well, that was dead smack in the middle of my own demise. By my own hand, I was a cheater. I was a bad father. I was a bad example to my kids. And that's what I mean by bad father. Like, I was living two lives, and I accepted it. I was. And person after person, God would send. Like, he sent this one kid in, you know, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna make my own psalms, you know. And he's like, he had this apprehension, like, he knew that you can't add and take away from the word of God, you know. But he knew that I wasn't ready. He sent this other guy, Anthony Colon, and he gave me a prayer that till this day I'll never forget.
His name was Anthony
His name was Anthony Colon. And
Cologne.
honestly, like, if I believed that there was a such thing as a multi-dimensional way for me to come back to me, he was it. He gave me a prayer. He said, whatever it is you're trying to achieve, whatever it is you're trying to do, he goes, say this first and then ask for it in God's name, you know. And he said, Lord, be before me to guide me, be behind me to protect me, be above me to watch over me and bestow your blessings on me and my family. and then ask.
Yeah.
So that's how I started. I started that well before God gave me the word, but still it wasn't enough. I was still living a life of sin. I was cheating every day, like for lunch, cheating. Like it was just what I did. And then I went home and I had Avery, and I knew I loved that little boy, and he was just this beautiful spirit. And I knew that I would do anything for him. I knew it. Like, I knew that I would protect him with my life. Still will, right? All my kids, right? But Avery was pivotal because he was the only kid that I had in my life as a baby until he was. He's the only one that's known me as dad since he was born. You know, Kaden knew me as dad when he was like five, you know. And then Candace knew me as dad, but didn't really, and still doesn't know me as dad, you know, and she's 20. So after going through all of that, God sent a man called Alton Kemp into my life, and he was very persistent in making sure that I understood what the word was. And he brought me this book by Tony Evans, Kingdom Man. I read part of the book, and in that book, Tony Evans talks about the absence of Adam. He talks about how Adam should have obeyed God and told his wife, no, put that apple down. And it was then that God opened my eyes to the fact that I wasn't the man that I needed to be. So I found myself lost. Still cheating, still doing wrong, but trying to figure it all out. And there was one moment where I had this emotional moment with Alton right there in the branch. I was emotionally exhausted. Like, we got through our conversation, and it was almost like the world had stopped. Like, I was at work, but I was there for so long with that guy talking. And when he left, I had to take my lunch and I went to my car. And Alton told me, he said, if you ask for it in Jesus' name, God will give it to you. So I went because I knew I was in a bad way. It was the first time I admitted I was doing something wrong. It was the first time I admitted to myself that I don't want to be this man. But I didn't know how to change. And I was in my car, I'm bawling, I'm crying, and I'm talking to God because I've always had that relationship. And I'm like, you know, dude, like, you got me down here figuring this stuff out for myself, and what do I do? I don't know what to do. And if you really, really want me to change, change me. You know, I'll do it. And I said, but I need to know it's you and not the devil. Because there's so many things that have come in and out of my life that I thought were good that wound up being bad for me. And that's relationships, that's people, that's friends, you know. And I needed to know that without a doubt, this was God sent. And I asked, I said, you give me a sign that without a doubt, when I see it, I will know that it's you who sent it. I'll never look back. And I said in a jest, and they say, if we ask in your son's name, Jesus Christ, that you'll give it. So, in Jesus' name, amen. And then I wiped my tears. I got out of my car in low faith, but that was the mustard seed that God was looking for. And as I'm walking back to work, I saw a red book on a bus stop bench, and it was a Bible. And there was a note in the Bible, in the book of Nehemiah, and I still haven't read that story completely, but I've read some of it, most of it really, but what I gathered from that was it's Jerusalem was in shambles, and Nehemiah was the one who rebuilt Jerusalem. And if there was ever a time my Jerusalem was in shambles, that was the time. And I needed to know that God loved me. I needed to know that he cared about me. And that note in the Bible was confirmation that God loved me. So I never looked back. I didn't know where to start. I started opening the Bible. I found myself in the Old Testament. I found myself in the New Testament. And as I started to experience life, I started asking myself the question, what does the Bible say about this? So, and then one decision after another, based off of knowing what the Bible says about this, I asked God, I said, what do you say about people like this? And then I found myself in the book of Psalms where it says, you know, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't counsel with the wicked. Guard your heart. Mm-hmm. So that's the day that God gave me the Bible. And I haven't stopped. Like, I'll, you know, I may not read it. Like, you read it relentlessly. Like, you listen to the Bible every day. And I'm actually doing more of that now. But that's how I got my Bible. That's how I got my first. Like, that's, I've had a Bible before, but that's the only one I could say God gave me.
I love that. I love to, I'm even thinking, like, this is something that you're speaking, we can type out too, you know?
Or we'll let the captions do it.
Right, but I mean, like, even, like, book form. Like, this is the intro to your book or something, you know? Yeah, and, like, yeah, like, yeah. We have it right here. And mm-hmm. Thinking about, like, Kingdom Man, I'm like, I have some books that I want to sit down with Caden to read, you know, a little bit, but that one, I'm like, maybe that's something that we can say, this is our book for the month, you know, we're going to read this, and get things out of it. And then you had also mentioned, reading, that you're reading Acts, and that kind of brings me to my next question.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Look up. I see that thing right there. Do you see it?
What?
Two of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a plane. There's two planes that just crossed.
Okay, I can see the plane now. This is the wings. I'm like, those just look like some idyllic things from down here.
Well.
But now I hear it, so we're good.
You've been 18 minutes, so you're okay?
19 yeah, minutes, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm good. This is not, like, I'm going to try to do a bag next and then work my way up to...
Even just from the well, it's cold water. Or from the...
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, like, it was 55 degrees last night. This isn't that. This is... So...
Yeah.
What else you got?
So then, I guess, like, this is good because we asked, like, how you came to know Jesus. And the next part I have here is, like, how did you come to know the Holy Spirit? Knowing that Jesus, when he said, like... I must leave so I can send the comforter to you, right?
Yeah.
And so with you reading Acts 2, you know, reading the book of Acts, we know that also we're introduced to experiences with the Holy Spirit there.
Yeah, like that's when the Holy Spirit came for all. It's like I tell you, I've always had that relationship with God. So I've always had the Holy Spirit guiding me. I may not have necessarily known that it was the Holy Spirit. I've always kind of, like, I would just, you would have thought I was crazy, but I'd be walking up. I remember walking up the hill in Yonkers, praying for a woman just like you, talking to God, right? And that's talking to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I guess you can say, like, no, it's kind of like, you know, Old Testament Holy Spirit. Like, I was walking with the Holy Spirit, but not everybody did. You know, like, it took a special type of heart and mind to walk with God. And you're walking in that spirit, right? Like, you're having those conversations, those honest conversations, you know. And I would write in my book of poetry all the time, inspired by my emotions, which I felt were driven by God. Like, you know, like my anxieties, my, you know, my whatever I was going through. And it wasn't until recently, like in the last 5 years, 10 years, that I started to understand not necessarily how to tap into the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's not like a superpower that you can activate, right? Like, it's not like Holy Spirit activate, like that's funny, but but now, even when I meditate, when I do my breath work, I'm trying to bring myself to a frequency that resonates with the Lord. You know, that's how come I play my binary beats. That's how come I'll focus on my breathing, and then I'll start to, like, once my mind is calm and it's not thinking about much other than my breathing, I start to pray about the things that are not in my control. And as a Christian, as a believer, I believe that when I do that, whether in my mind or out loud, that the Holy Spirit is present and listening and helping me. And as far as like just knowing how to like work with the Holy Spirit, like my brother's really doing something big in Kentucky. Like, they're speaking in tongues out there, they're baptizing, and they're doing a whole bunch of really cool stuff out there in the name of Jesus. And I think about the Acts, you know, like that small group of people that were Jesus freaks, that were just like, you know, oh man, we just had this experience. And like, you know, like when you speak Christianese, you know, like my brother's out there, he's at a comic book store, and this guy has all the Kingstone comics, and he's like, yeah, this is what I do, man. I sell all my Marvel stuff just so I could buy these and sell these to the kids
That's
cheap, you
cool.
know. So I'm like, and then I'm thinking, oh wow, I could bring my comics to so he can get a value on them, you know. But out there, it's like, you know, it's a out there, it's very popular, if you will. You know, like, there's a lot of people that are going to this church. It's kind of like when we go to a watch party kind of thing, or when we go to a pop-up, you know, it's very much like that every time he goes, you know. So it's like if we went to the Valentine campus, you know, what it would be like there, you know. That's all the Holy Spirit, you know. Like, my brother's out there, he's up at 4:30 in the morning doing CrossFit with these guys, and then they're doing cold plunges in the name of Jesus, you know. They're praying for people, you know, and they do this every day, you know. And it's like, that's the will of God, you know. Like, that's a squirrel.
Yeah, doesn't he sound like a chicken or something?
No, no,
<How's he
that's a
sound?
squirrel.
laughs>
Oh.
Been 25 minutes. So one of my questions is, do you have a time you remember calling out to the Lord or reaching out to him? But I think that you already kind of told us even that with,
With how I got the Bible.
right? And actually, you actually hit the other question in our digging deeper where it says, like, do you have a list? You know, when Pastor said, like, when you're hit with loneliness, you know, when the devil hits you with loneliness, give him your list, right? You have a list of people that you could say have helped shape you, and that guy, what was his name again from the bank?
We got Alton Kemp.
Did you didn't you reach out to him?
Yeah, I did. He's older now, but
And then there was an Anthony Colon. It reminds me of when you and I were out and there was a couple that you said,
oh, Anthony and Diana,
I want to bring them food.
Tony and Diana, yeah.
And I remember we went, you know, down, we had to go down the highway or to another exit to get the McDonald's. And then we came back, we couldn't find them. And you're like, man, I know God wanted me to give this to them.
Yeah.
And then, but then we did finally see them parked, got out of the car. And yeah, I don't know if he had a badge on or something that said Tony. Like, oh, what's your name? And she was Diana or
Yeah,
something. Like
Diana was her name.
the day that Anthony and Diana met Anthony and
Yeah,
Diana.
I remember that. See, like, experiences like that, you can't take away, like, you can't deny it. So You got over 7 billion people on this planet, right? And then I ask myself, what are the odds of me feeling compelled to bless somebody because I'm blessed? Like, I felt this overwhelming joy of, I want for nothing. I can and I will obey. Like, I said, I heard in my head, give those people food. And I obeyed, you know? And faith was, we couldn't find them. We couldn't see them, right? And then we found them, right?
And there was disappointment. There was like, wait, what's, did I hear wrong? You know, did I
Right,
what?
there was that moment of like, am I going crazy? No, I know that this was supposed to happen, and it did. We found them, and then they're looking at us like we're crazy. The girl just seemed really happy to have food. She was like, man, I got a whole bag of burgers, let's go.
And it's interesting how things tie in, because just last night Clarice had mentioned, I believe it was Clarice. We were talking about people that help shape us. And she was telling the islands growing up, there was this couple that would come, you know, and tell them about Jesus. And they had learned that if you're eating, but your neighbor has no food, like, what are you doing? Like,
Yeah,
you know?
help your neighbor, yeah.
So, that just encourages me, like, man, is there some sort of like homeless, you know, feeding ministry we could do, even with like, I'm like, this Sunday, like, I'm gonna, we're, instead of, you know, we're gonna get off the games and bring our boys and show them how it, what it means to give, you know? Do that again. It's a good shot. So, with you being out of the plunge, we do have some more questions, but I think we're gonna need a part two. We're at 30, but almost 30 minutes here. So, I think that I'll just end with this question here.
Go for it.
Do you have any advice for those who may be unsure of how to read the Bible or pray?
My advice to anybody that would say that they don't know how to read the Bible is, get one. And there's so many versions out there, and you know, I would find one that like is easy to read, like, so NLT, ESV, English Standard Version. That's the first Bible I got, was English Standard Version. But I found myself growing fond of the New King James because I like to know the words that are being used, how they're being used. But again, that's me. So back to, if you don't know how to read the Bible, get one. Start there. You know, it's just like jiu-jitsu. Show up, get on the mat, right? And start looking at it as a book, right? It'll come. Like you can't read the Bible and not believe at some point. Like, I even Bart Ehrman, who's an atheist, believes in the scriptures. I guess just get one and start reading it. You know, Genesis, take the Old Testament. It's typically harder because you're dealing with God from a distance. So in the Old Testament, God used people. He used prophets, just like he uses people now. But in the New Testament, he used Jesus. Jesus was God manifested. So that's the fastest way to understand how to be like Christ. And pray. He'll tell you how to pray. He'll tell you, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know. And give us day our daily bread, you know, like, but understanding what that means, you know, you know, in the Old Testament, God gave them the Jews manna, which was their daily nourishment, and they were unsatisfied. They didn't appreciate it, you know. And so when we ask for our daily bread, you know, it's give us what we need today, because tomorrow is not promised, you know. And you can't go back and eat the steak and lobster that you had yesterday, you know. And when it comes to prayer, I've always, like I said, had that relationship with God. So for me, when I pray, it's like I said, people would think I'm crazy. I'm like having a conversation. Like, have you seen me do it? Shout at the ceiling because I was mad at God. Yeah, I said it. I was mad at God, but he was mad at me too. Just talk like you're talking to somebody, you know. I think pastor says just talk like you're talking to your father, you know. And maybe you don't have a father. Maybe you don't have somebody that you can go to and have that type of conversation with. But I could tell you, close the door, get into a safe space for yourself. And if you have to put on some lo-fi or some binary beats to get your mind in state, but think of it this way. When you pray, you are trying to align every part of your being to a power and authority that is sovereign over all things, and focus on aligning yourself that way with the words you say. And it's not going to be easy at first, and if you lose your train of thought, that's okay. Just come back and take another stab at it. But practice makes perfect. It's like jiu-jitsu. You're not going to get better if you're not on the mat. You're not going to get better at praying, and you're not going to grow your relationship with God if you're not picking up your Bible and reading it and talking to God. So that's my advice.
That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For sharing. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back.
Plunge talk.
Whether it's another plunge talk, or we hope to have some other people on here to hear more testimonies. Thank you. God bless. And Jesus loves you.